first Rashis in the Sefer are very iconic. The first Rashi in Sefer Bereishis, and then right to the land of Israel. The first Rashi in Shmos has to be iconic, but wrapping your head around the specific details and the symbolisms is where Hasidus fills in a lot of the blanks. What's the first Rashi? Ve'ela Shmos Bnei Yisrael Haba'im Mitzrayim. It's such an important Sefer, it begins with the word Shmos. Ela Shmos. And not only does it begin with Shmos, but it seems like a redundant list, because these people were already counted on the way down. So, famous Rashi. Afa pi shemanan b'chayem. And of course, we're counting dead people now. So, afa pi shemanan b'chayem, they were already listed and enumerated when they descended into Mitzrayim, and now they've passed. Chazir manan b'misasa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah recounts them after they've passed. Lehodiyah chibasan. Okay, so far this Rashi is not something that invites mystical association. Hashem loves Am Yisrael. The perfect Rashi to begin Shmos with, Sefer HaGerula. Hashem counted us already, but counts us again. The first in many redundant countings in the Sefer Torah, because Chamisha Chumshei Torah, that Hashem loves us so much. So we have this theme throughout the Torah. Here's where it gets interesting. But we're going to stop there. Shenim Shalu L'Kochavim. Why does Hashem count us repeatedly? Because we're compared to stars. Hashem likes to count stars also. Mona mispar lekochavim lechulim shem yisikra. Hashem counts stars. Hamotzi b'mispar tzva'am. Pasuk in Yeshayah is very similar to the one in Tehillim I just quoted. So now we have a lot of information on our hand that we have to deal with. Why are we like stars? And what does that have to do with counting? So I'll read two pieces with you from the Sfas Emes. In each case, we're likened to stars for very different reasons. Now obviously, we're likened to stars because there's so many. Kechochvei Hashemayim l'rov. But that's not what's going on here in Sfas Emes, because that's not what's going on in Rashi. The amount of stars is not what's drawing the attention of this association, of the simile. It's something about the stars, it's something about the number. Okay? And of course, keep in mind that here the highlight of the star is not the amount that there are, but the light of the star, because this is happening right as we're going into Galus. So our purpose in Galus is to be like stars, not necessarily as many as stars, but to be irradiant like stars. Provide light in both, light and darkness like stars. So here the focus isn't on how many stars there are, how many Jews there are, but the power of the stars to illuminate. Of course, they may be mutually exclusive. When we're in Galus, we're not as many as stars, but we illuminate like stars. Once we leave Galus and come back to Eretz Yisrael, then we start to propagate and multiply. This is all my commentary. So that's in Zaynus. Okay. So let's start with piece number one. Piece number one, Nimshulu Lekochavim. Why? So what role do kochavim play? So kochavim are pacifiers. Kochavim are consolers. Who are they consolers for? They're consolers for the moon. We all know that the moon and the sun were equally illuminating in the first week of Bereishis. The moon complains. The moon gets punished. The moon gets downgraded. Its light is not going to be as powerful. It's going to be a reflection of the sun. But it's given associates, accomplices, helpers. Who are the helpers of the moon? The stars. So the stars are the gift given to the moon because its light will be somewhat veiled and somewhat camouflaged in nature. So its stars enunciate and amplify its light. So the function of stars is to take a light, in this case which has been morally suppressed because the moon complained, but any light that's suppressed in nature, and the stars enunciate it, and the stars facilitate it. So what is the moon a metaphor for, and who are the stars a metaphor for? What other light has been veiled or concealed in nature? Not just the moon, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light is infinite and encompasses the entire world, but you don't see it because nature veils it. You see natural laws, you see physics, you see chemistry, you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see evil, you see moral corruption, you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, needs stars to help his light be better appreciated. The same way the moon needs its stars for the light to be appreciated. So that's why we are the Tzivaos Hashem. We are the stars that are servicing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light, the same way the stars are the Tzivaos that service the moon's light. So that's why the word Tzivaos becomes a metaphor for the Jewish people serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's read this, okay? Ki Memshalos HaLevana, line number 3, Hu Lirmos Koch Lachuso Yisbarach, Hashem's presence, Hashem Nislab Shetoch HaTeva, it's become concealed within nature. Well, Hashem's presence is only known through the tzaddikim, who are like stars. The Jews who are like tzaddikim, just like the moon's light, can better be appreciated through the light of the stars. Okay? Kol ha-galios shaladalad malchios. The function of galos is lahastir malchus shemayim. So this is happening. Hashem is reminding us, you're going into galos. Galos is what I would call the microcosm of reality. The reality is it conceals Hashem's presence. When is Hashem's presence most concealed? In galos, hastir astir panai. So you're now about to enter the world of galos. You have to be counted the same way Hashem counts stars to remind you that your role in galos will be similar to the stars' role in nature. You are, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the stars are to the Levana. So therefore Hashem counts them just like He counted the stars to remind them and to reinforce that function of stars. Now, I'm stopping here for a second before we get to the second section, because this is a perfect example of where Chassidus has a very, very unnatural or non-conventional relationship with galus. In a non-mystical world, galus is a punishment. And it has to be alleviated as quickly as possible. We're still from, we still serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if we had our way, we would never be in galus. In Chassidus, it's very, very, very different. Because first of all, so much of Chassidus operates in the cosmic realms. It's not just where you're living in time and space, but time and space is really connected to some larger realm beyond time and space, which is why Zmanei Tfilos weren't as important for Chassidim in some cases, because in Lithuania, it may be past Mount Kriyashma, but you're not davening in Lithuania or in Poland. You're davening in some cosmic sphere in which timing is irrelevant, in which spacing is irrelevant. So whether you're in Mitzrayim or you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's not really relevant when you're dealing with Olamos Elyonim that you're trying to be mitakin. Second of all, because Chassidus believes that you're trying to gather the lost sparks of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that got scattered and distracted during Bria, so those lost sparks, you probably will come across more of them in America than you will in Petach Tikva. And third of all, because this is your purpose. You're trying to, even metaphorically, create light where there isn't. Hashem's world presence in this nature is veiled, and you're trying to disclose it. Well, you do that better in Gullahs, because the whole narrative suggests it's dark and you're providing light. There's so much light in Gula, you're not playing that role. So it's a very, very interesting relationship, and you can already see it here. Look at line on your page. It's about six or seven lines before it ends. V'nikra galus. Why is it called galus? Al shem giloi kivod malchuso. We think galus means exile. But the Sfasema says galus is giloi kivod malchuso yizbarach b'toch ha-teva. Galus allows Hashem's presence in Teva to be better understood, because you're going to the darkest possible reality in which Hashem's presence is the most concealed. And if you reveal Him in galus, you're revealing to the world that Hashem exists even when it's darkest, even when you least suspect it. So if Hashem can be seen even in galus, He can be seen even in a mountain or a planet or an ocean. So galus is turned into giloi. V'zeh ha-giloi, this process of giloi in galus, hu ikra havoda. L'chein koach ha-levana omok v'yoseh. So that's a very interesting, consistent theme you'll find through a lot of Chassidus, that galus is not an unfortunate tragedy, it's an opportunity for avodas Hashem at a cosmic level, at the very least, that you don't have in non-galus, in Gula. The second piece is Tafresh Lamechas, and I'll be quick. Here, comparing Jews to stars, and Rashi stressing that, has little to do with our role vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu compared to the stars' role vis-a-vis the moon. Here's something totally different. Okay, this whole world is supernatural. At the heart of that supernatural identity is the fact that Hashem took nothing and created something, Yesh Me'ayim. So we can all create one material to another. We can transform material. We can alter material. But we can't create. We can't take nothing and create something, Yesh Me'ayim. To a degree, that's paralleled with stars. Stars, I can't explain this to you. I can just tell you, stars have no number to them. You can't. They're infinite. When I was growing up and I thought that we're compared to the sands of the beach and to the stars of the Shemayim, I thought there was an imbalance, because there's clearly more kernels of sand than there are stars. But modern science has proven that there probably are just as many planets and stars as there are grains of sand. To get into numbers that are just simply outrageous. If you multiply stars per galaxy, per solar system, it gets into numbers that boggle the imagination. And Hashem tells Avram, go out and look at the stars, imtucha l'sporosam, you won't be able to count them. So stars are bordering on infinity. Whether they're infinite or not, it doesn't make a difference to us, because they're so beyond human comprehension that for all intents and purposes, they are infinite. Whether they're infinite or not, once you reach a certain stage, you can't apply numbers or even abstract numbers to it, and they become infinite. And yet Hashem gives them names and counts them. So Hashem counting the infinite is essentially a supernatural activity. Mona Misparla Kochavim L'chulam Shem L'sifra, which we just said a few minutes ago, is taking something which is supernatural and allowing it to be part of our natural world of numbers and affinity. Well, that's what stars are. Stars are some light from some other realm that Hashem wants to radiate or illuminate our realm. It's very different. I mean, he doesn't say this, but anyone that knows basic astronomy. So the sun is how far away? Whatever. By how long does it take for the sun's rays to hit Earth? So, I don't know what the time is. Minutes. So minutes after the sun shoots out its rays, and the rays, whatever, those sparks, the energy shoots out of the sun's core, it hits Earth and the moon as well. Stars, some of the light we're seeing from stars are from stars that have already died. So the stars are clearly in sense of distance, and they're from a different realm, not just supernaturally, but it's really a different realm hitting us. So it's got this sense of something supernatural, infinite, turned finite, that can only that can illuminate the darkness. So it's a light that's coming from an Or HaElyon to an Or HaTachton and creating light in darkness. Well, which other people, or which people do you know come from a different world but are sent to this world supernaturally to create that light? That becomes a symbol for the Jewish people. Jewish people possess an element of their neshama that's born out of a different space, that's born out of an Or HaElyon, and therefore they're sent to this earth, and particularly in Galus, which is dark. Hashem stresses this stars-like aspect of the Jewish people on the eve of Galus, as we're going to Mitzrayim, say you come from a different place as the stars do. You're going to Galus, and therefore you have to. Let's just read very quickly. Upelazu, line number 4. Upelazu hu bichlal habriya shebar yesh miyayin. Hashem creates reality from nothingness. Kein asa me'ein mispar mispar. Hakol, here's the key line. L'hamshich or mi'olam ha'elyon le'olam ha'tepa. To create a bridge between the supernatural cosmic world and the physical, empirical world that we know. V'ze'atzmo ha'dimyon sheminam b'nei Yisrael ata shenechim z'bagal sitzrayim elakuchavim. Ki gam b'nei Yisrael nishmasan atzula milamala. Our neshama stems from some higher realm, me'ateva v'nislab shebeteva, and now we're encased in teva, lehayar taocha chashecha, v'mosh ha'kochavim, sheim lamala me'ateva, v'ein shir legodlam, just like the stars are enormous and beyond human comprehension, beyond human travel, same way with Am Yisrael. So the first piece in Tavrei Shlamet Hei, he likens Jews to stars because of our role to illuminate Hashem's concealed presence. The second piece, he compares Jews to stars because of our supernatural descent to a world of teva, similar to the stars. Very, very important part of Rashi. This is like a magnet for Hasidic thought. This is whole Rashi stars. The fact that he says Hashem loves us and he counts us, that's great. The fact that we're like stars, where did that come from? Why is Rashi all of a sudden introducing stars? It's not the Pesukim, it's not relevant to the narrative. There's something about that first Rashi's. Beware of first Rashi's in Sefer. Bamidbar is not so exciting, but all the others are very interesting. Okay?